Maureen Coverley.
John Jeffrey is joining us too.
Thank you very much. You said Tim, Carl, and Tina.
Yes.
Thank you. Barbara, we still got you?
Yes, and you have Paul as well.
Thanks.
And you got Mark Schneider too, Glenn.
Thanks, Mark.
Carrie too.
Carrie too.
Robin Gross.
Robin Gross, welcome.
Tom Keller.
Tom, good. Have we lost Bruce?
I'm just back on again, Glenn.
Okay, thanks.
Phil's back on too.
Sounds to me like we're quarry.
Marilyn, are you back on?
I am.
Lucy?
Yes.
John Jeffrey's on as well.
Welcome, John.
Alec, are you on?
I am.
Thank you. Bruce, I think we've got 14.
Okay.
Council members.
Good. All right.
Kiyoshi, are you on, perhaps?
Okay, what I suggest sounds like we've stabilised. I'll just do a roll call and just confirm who we have and then move forward with the meeting. So, Philip Shepherd?
Yes.
Marilyn Cave?
Yes.
Grant Forsyth?
Yes.
Ken Stubbs?
Yes.
Kerry Carp?
Yes.
Philip Colebrook? Tony Harris? Tony Holmes?
Yes.
Greg Ruth?
Yes.
Robin Gross?
Yes.
Carlos Alfonso?
He's absent. And he's given his proxy to Mark.
Mark Schneider?
Yes.
Welcome, Mark. Ross Rader?
I'm here. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year, Ross. Tom Keller?
Yes.
Nicholas Lagergren?
This is Lucy. I have his proxy.
Okay. Kiyoshi? Lucy, sounds like you're there.
I'm here.
Maureen Cubberley?
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome, Maureen.
Thank you.
It's your first official call?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Demi Getchko?
Demi's absent. He's given his proxy to Alec Wilson.
Okay, and Alec Wilson?
Yeah.
Okay, welcome, Alec. And then liaisons, we've got Thomas Rosler.
He's given his apologies. And
do we have?
Has Suzanne.
Okay, and has Suzanne. Okay, yes.
And staff?
It's like Paul Verhoel.
Yes.
John Jeffrey.
Yes.
Barbara Roseman?
Yes.
Welcome, Barbara. Do we have anyone else?
Kurt?
Kurt's here.
Dan Halloran. Tim Cole and Tina.
Take care, everybody. Great. Okay, now first, the agenda's sort of been changing a bit over time. Since the first draft, I've added the items suggested by Marilyn Cade on the workshop and by Philip on the issues reports. I've also, the ICANN staff announced a review of the transfers policy yesterday, so I've just put an item there for the staff to give us an update on how that might work. And also finally, just a general update on other issues such as appointment of new staff. Are there any other changes or requests on the agenda? okay, we'll move forward on that basis. The first item on the agenda is approving the minutes of the last couple of meetings. We have the minutes of the teleconference of the 18th of November and the minutes of the physical council meeting that we held in Cape Town. Are there any questions or suggestions regarding those minutes?
Bruce, this is Ken Stubbs.
Yes, Ken?
Yeah, I'd like to go ahead and move that the minutes be accepted as presented then.
Okay. All those in favour, say aye.
Aye.
Any against? Any abstentions?
I'll abstain, Bruce. It's Maureen, because I wasn't part of that meeting.
Okay. Thank you, Maureen.
Actually, this is Lucy. I was not present as well.
Okay. So I'll note Lucy and Maureen as abstentions. We'll note
and
those
Alec.
And Alec, you're abstaining as well?
Yes, I was not present.
Okay. Okay, with those abstentions, then we'll note those minutes as passed. The next item on the agenda is the response to the GNSO external review. I posted to the list yesterday, I guess I extracted the recommendations from Patrick Showery's report and have just tried to indicate a fairly short GNSO response to each of those. In some cases it's just acknowledging the recommendation, and in other cases it's making a response from a GNSO point of view. Were there any comments on those, or any comments on the external review, I guess, and any comments on the response that I've prepared?
Carrie to speak, Ruth?
Yeah, go ahead, Carrie.
Our comment on his second recommendation about the appointment of liaisons, might it be worthwhile being even clearer in the justification for the reciprocity of all of this, that the purpose of liaison cannot be fully realized without this reciprocity?
We can put that, because I guess in the past it's been fairly one way. I'm not aware of that we've really, possibly with the CCTLDs. Marilyn, do you know, have you acted as a liaison for the CCTLDs at some point?
You know, I have informally interacted with the CCTLDs. It hasn't been, we did not actually appoint a liaison, if you recall, but I sort of informally interacted with them. If you recall, we have on the agenda item whether we're actually going to move to a formal appointment, realizing that the CCNSO is still in, I'm not going to describe this as a formative stage, but they are still establishing many procedures. So I just would say we should not hold up the appointment of liaisons as long as, you know, until it's a reciprocity issue, because it could be that another group will need a bit more time.
Yeah, I think this is really just a comment from the GNSO saying, you know, what we think works the best.
Right.
And I think there's the point from the external review saying, you know, we should establish liaisons, and I think the point that Carrie's making is, you know, it's useful if we can have liaisons flying back the other way as well to, you know, enhance the communication.
Yes, Bruce, I would like to make another comment, however, about the role of liaisons.
Yeah, go ahead.
In a previous world, when we were, when the CCs were just beginning the development of the idea of developing their own SO, there was a working effort populated by one member of each of the constituencies on the SO and representatives on the CCs to talk about developing sort of, I don't want to really call it a, it was sort of a liaison expectation statement. And we did work on that in informal meetings in Ghana and in one subsequent meeting. I would think that we should still informally, as council, take into account that we should develop expectations for our liaisons so that people know whether or not they can fulfill the expectations and accept the assigned responsibility.
Sorry, Kiyoshi just joined in.
Welcome, Kiyoshi. Yeah, well, I think one of the recommendations from the Patrick Sherry report is that we try and formalise the liaisons by describing what the role of the liaison is, and also, I guess, defining by agreement with the other organisation, you know, the purpose of the liaison. So I think, yeah, that kind of addresses what you're saying there, Marilyn, in the recommendation. I think the council response is probably, yeah, that's a good idea. And then it's really just a matter of time and resource to actually make that happen.
Bruce?
Yes?
This is Suzanne Sen. I just wanted to share a point of information, if I could.
Yes, go ahead, Suzanne.
The GAC, at its most recent meeting in Cape Town, has agreed to a slightly different concept than what we have with the GNSO. For CCNSO and for the NRO, we have agreed to set up regional representatives. So there are five representatives from the GAC that are interacting with five CCNSO reps, and we have proposed to do the same with the NRO, so that each of the RIRs has a counterpart. Now, this is all very new, a new proposal, very early days, but I just thought I would throw that out in the event you were not aware.
Actually, Bruce, I have a question for Suzanne.
Yeah, go ahead, ma'am.
This is the GAC proposal. Has the consultation on this been worked out with respect to the SOs?
Yes, actually, both of the SOs have agreed to this. In fact, I think the CCNSO proposed it to us.
Uh-huh.
And I believe the same may have been the case with the RIRs.
And, of course, it's a little bit different with the GNSO in that we do not have regional structures.
Exactly.
And just also for clarification, Suzanne, is that such that there's a nominated person on each side that communicate with each other? Is it? Is that how that's essentially working?
I believe that's the intention, but again, these are early days, and I'm happy to keep you apprised of how that works. I know it doesn't translate for us into, because you are not structured regionally. The GAC is new to this regional concept as well, but we did just informally agree to it because it seemed to make sense, and different GAC members simply volunteered to play that role. But we have not done what Marilyn was talking about, which is sort of a statement of expectations, which, frankly, I'm happy to take back to the GAC as some feedback from the GNSO to suggest that we might want to sketch that out.
Yeah, I think that would be worthwhile. I guess it kind of follows up from our meeting that we had in Cape Town, Suzanne, where we were saying that we need to kind of formalise in a way what some of the processes would be for moving forward, and I think trying to create a bit of a working document would be a good start to do that.
Yes, I think you're right. Thank you.
Thank you, Suzanne. Any other comments? Yeah, go ahead, Philip.
Really, just to say, I think the recommendations and the short responses you make are excellent and succinct. It may just be worth highlighting in any cover note the number of recommendations in which we're calling, which we're supporting a call for board action, which I think is particularly recommendation 19 on the three reps, just to underline that.
Right, that's a good point. Yeah. Okay, what I suggest we do then, because these were only really sent out yesterday. The public comment period is due to complete on the 24th of January, which is in sort of 10 days' time. What I suggest council members do is review those comments, and if they'd like any changes to suggest those on the list for sort of a 7-day comment period. And if you know there's no significant problems raised by anybody, then I would submit those on the 24th. Would someone like to propose a motion to that effect or second that as a process?
I'll second that, Philip.
Thanks, Philip. Any comments or discussion on that approach?
We could probably just do a voice vote, Bruce, rather than...
Yeah. All those in favour of that approach, say aye.
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 Any against? Any abstentions? Okay, let's note that action is agreed. The next item on the agenda is an update on the procedure for use by ICANN in considering requests for consent and contractual amendments. I have to report on that I haven't had a chance to update the initial report as yet. I've received the input from the staff at the Cape Town meeting. I will attempt to update that document in the next couple of weeks and hopefully be able to schedule some calls with groups that are interested in further discussion. So there's, I guess, no further details on that. The next item being, who is task forces? Is there anyone able to report on the progress of Task Force 1 and 2?
If there's no one else, I'm happy to give it a try.
Yeah, go ahead, Phil.
Okay. yesterday, the Task Force 1-2 held a... the first will probably be a number of outreach sessions, and yesterday's session focused on... we should really think of them not as outreach, sorry, data gathering. And yesterday's session focused on CRISP/IRIS and a current briefing and an in-depth opportunity to hear from really the development community and very substantive experts in this area more about the functionality of CRISP, et cetera. The two-hour, maybe an hour and a half program was well attended. We had somewhere over 20 participants. So we had the task force itself and several guests, and thanks to those of you both from the council and from the staff, I know several of you were able to dial in as well, for participating. We will have a transcript, and this is sort of the first of our effort to take input from what we called experts in the group. The task force has not fully developed its list of experts, but has been working on identifying further experts to hear from. There have been suggestions contributed that it would be good to hear from .name, for instance, regarding their experience, from .ca, from the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, and possibly other experts, while we also track other work. That relates to the tiered access portion of our work. In the meantime, we do have one segment of consensus policy that is out to the constituencies for statements with a close date of January the 31st. And everyone is urged to encourage your constituency or stakeholder group, such as the at-large, to provide comments so that we can continue to progress the work there. We have a third outstanding area of work that we have not actually determined how we will progress that work, and we are awaiting, in that case, scheduling a dialogue with some of the senior staff of ICANN in order to figure out how to address that that second piece of work.
Okay. Has there been much input on the current recommendations that were presented in Cape Town?
We're talking about the issue which is really sort of about conspicuous notice, Bruce?
Yes. Yeah, there was two. I think there was one on conspicuous notice and the other one was on, I guess, a legal process for when there's a conflict with local rules.
Okay. Actually, let me divide those. So we have three working projects. Let me call conspicuous notice Project 1. Project 1 is out to the constituencies for constituency statements, constituency impact statements. Project 2, which is what kind of mechanism, if any, is needed to address instances where there may be a conflict with national law. That is the that was my obscure comment when I said that we are waiting, trying to work towards scheduling a further dialogue with senior staff related to how we proceed, don't proceed, change what we're doing, etc. But that is not out for public, that's not out for constituency comment. That is still a work initiative within the, at this point, we've got to have that conversation before we can progress at all.
Okay. And the third one, the tiered access project, you're seeking inputs to that, so.
Tiered access is, that project is sort of just now beginning to be kicked off. We had sort of had a rolling thunder approach to our projects in that we worked on the first two and sort of held tiered access until we could get work progressed on the first two so we could then concentrate on tiered access. Think of tiered access as probably going through this series of data gathering calls, and the next call, which is on the 18th, members of the task force are asked to contribute straw proposals on possible designs of tiered access that could be discussed even while we are continuing our gathering of information from experts. I urge all counselors to keep in mind that the task force does not have a consensus agreement to pursue tiered access. We only have a consensus agreement to explore tiered access, its implications, its cost, its impact, blah, blah, blah.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Marilyn. Are there any questions or comments on that overview?
Okay. Bruce, the final comment I would make is, I believe, and Glenn can, and Barbara can comment on this, I believe that the intent of the task force was to make any other meetings, such as the one we held yesterday, I think you could expect to see those open to interested counselors or other parties as well.
Okay. Okay. Task Force 3, there's been, I guess, Brian Darvall has resigned as chair of that task force. I had agreed to host a meeting later this month to pick up on the work that was done in Cape Town. I was also hoping to get some minutes of some of the meetings we had in Cape Town. Glenn, had you had any progress there? I think you had been talking to Barbara and yourself about what notes had been kept on those meetings.
Yes, I sent you what there was, and there's the minutes missing from that breakfast meeting on the Friday morning, where I unfortunately was not present.
Oh, okay.
And if we can get it, I'll ask around again.
Right. Yeah, if we can just try to put together the best we can.
Glenn, I might have just, you know, a few notes. If I find them, I'll send them over to you.
Thank you very much indeed. That would help a lot. Thanks.
Okay. That would be good. So I think I just want to sort of start with a summary of where we got to before trying to set up a meeting on next steps. Okay. The next item is the strategic plan. There's a comment period open until the 28th of February. And Marilyn Kate has been looking at arranging a consultative workshop on the 7th and 8th of February to collect views from different perspectives, and I'll let Marilyn perhaps address that item.
Certainly. Would you want me to do this before we hear from the ICANN staff about outreach?
Yeah, it's probably best. You think it's probably better to hear the other plans first? It probably is. Is Kurt Pritz or Paul Verhoeven able to give a bit of a summary of ICANN's timetable between now and the 28th of February for getting further input?
I guess either of us can do that. Bruce, Kurt probably has more details at this moment than I have on it, but and the broad outline is that we are currently scheduling a series of teleconferences with a whole range of constituencies, and what we want to do with that is make sure that there are a number of senior staff available for each of these calls, in addition to whatever other staff is useful on it. So we're currently in-house looking at exactly how this would work best, and looking at the availability of the staff. and then there will be contacts sought with those constituencies and times agreed, and we'll be discussing how we exactly do that. Basically, the aim is that we hear from them which parts of the strategic plan they like, what they think we've done well, where there still may be room for improvements. And no doubt people will also tell us where they think we may have to change our approach next time we do a strategic plan. What we're hoping indeed is also to hear what is going well, because it is easy to pick on what's going wrong, but that is only in part helpful to us. We all hope, in addition, that there are going to be written submissions from everybody to the plan, so that really we have some material to work with, both in terms of getting the final plan out, and secondly, to take the notions behind the comments with us for use for the next strategic plan if we're going to address that. And then indeed there is the plan for Marilyn and a few of you to possibly at some moment have a meeting. I think it is useful that Marilyn outlines her plan and we have then a bit of a discussion on it. I think from the staff side we're interested to understand how this would work precisely. Kurt, is there anything you want to or could add to this?
Just to supply a little bit of the detail, we're working. Paul Toomey's, settled out his schedule sort of, so we know what his availability is for attending the meeting. So we're coordinating with the various constituency groups, to hold conference calls now that we know what Paul's availability is. Well, he will probably be attending a majority of the meetings, if not all of them.
Someone's going to have to ask Kurt to please speak up. I couldn't hear half of what he said, please.
We've been working the last several days to iron out Paul Toomey's schedule because he would like to attend the majority of the constituency calls. And we just got that ironed out last night, so we'll be coordinating the timing of the calls over the next day or two.
Yeah, well, just one comment I would add to that, Kurt, is that with some of the larger constituencies, it might be useful to have a couple of calls staged at different time zones. Because it's certainly difficult to get participation from everybody, no matter what time you pick. So potentially choosing a couple of times, say 12 hours apart or something, for some of the larger constituencies might be useful.
I'm sorry, one would think I would grasp this, but I need to ask a question. So the plan is to work with the leadership of the various constituencies to schedule teleconferences. Is that what I heard that the senior staff would be able to participate in?
Yes. We would work as the chair is sort of the coordinator of each constituency. We'd work through that person to help schedule the call.
You might want to not all constituencies have chairs.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right, Marilyn.
Right. So I think yes.
Okay. Are there any other questions from the council for the ICANN staff?
Hey, excuse me. This is Kurt. May I make an additional comment?
Yes, go ahead.
Marilyn, who should we work through regarding the business constituency and coordinating that meeting?
If Grant and Philip agree, I think they're both on the call, perhaps we might just agree among ourselves, give you a single point of contact, and probably work with our secretariat with you. So,
the thing called the liaison seven list, isn't there, whatever it is, or six list now. Which is a point of contact for each constituency, surely that's going to be the mechanism for
that we were able to understand your question. It's a bit of a blur in your...
I'm sorry, there was a thing called the Liaison 6 list, which is the point of contacts that have been notified by each constituency to ICANN. That would seem to be the natural list to use for this idea.
Yeah, this is a mailing list that Glenn manages, Marilyn, which he uses to send announcements.
No, I know. It was a little hard to understand what Philip was saying. I'm sorry.
So we could use that to communicate with each constituency that doesn't have a
chair. Well, it's a broadcast list, Kurt, but what you could do is announce that you're trying to organise these things and, I guess, encourage the relevant constituencies to contact you.
I understand.
Hi, Bruce. It's Ross here. I've got a question for Kurt as well.
Yeah, go ahead, Ross.
I haven't really followed this question of consultation too closely over the holidays. I've been off. But I'm kind of lost on the staff consulting with the constituencies versus consulting with the council or both, or how that will be reconciled, what weight will be given. Is there any background you could give me on that, Kurt? And if this is well-trod ground, I apologize.
Only that it was always ICANN's intention as part of the strategic planning process to release this draft and then consult with each constituency. To determine where the plan might be improved or where certain areas of the plan should have more detail, or whether certain efforts that are described in the strategic plan might fall short in the eyes of a targeted constituency, and therefore we can make the plan better. So as always, if you think about the strategic planning process, we roiled about with it internally for some time, trying to get it into a form that we thought was presentable. And now, having presented that form publicly, we're in this part of the process where we want to really get detailed feedback from each constituency. And that was that was part of Paul Toomey's charge,
okay.
Plus as part of the release process.
So then, does that obviate the need to consult with council then, or?
Well, actually, maybe I might ask a question as well.
Okay.
Perhaps we could hear a bit more about your overall consultation with the supporting organizations, because, of course, while we have constituencies within this supporting organization, that's unique to this organization, and there are two other supporting organizations and the at-large and the advisory committees. And could someone tell us just a little bit about the broad consultation that might be helpful to us?
Certainly. Well, that sort of consultation is in our contemplation for the CCNSO and the advisory committees also. So for the we'll get feedback from the technical advisory committee.
Kurt, I guess just to.
And just to add on, then Denise Michelle is working through and getting a feedback from the ALAC.
Actually, Kurt, can I add something to the program?
Certainly.
When we say we're going out and arranging these discussions with the constituencies, I think a more pertinent way to talk about it would say we're going out and making arrangements to discuss things with the stakeholders. And in the GNSO, they're well represented through the constituencies, but obviously there are other stakeholders in the ICANN process, and so we are also at the same time making arrangements to meet with the ASO Address Council, the CCNSO Council, and doing outreach to the GAC. ALAC, we have already, the at-large, we've already done some significant discussions with, and they indicated that they'll let us know when they're ready for another briefing. We're also doing outreach to the FSAC and the RSAC in order to make sure that we are addressing their concerns as well. So this really is broader than just the constituencies in the technical sense of constituencies within the GNSO. We were just using that as shorthand for stakeholder groups.
But
yeah.
To follow on to Ross's question, which was the importance of consulting with the GNSO Council. So to mirror that, you're undertaking consultation with the CCNSO Council. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, not really. It's that, you know, we want to reach out to the CCTLD managers in a very broad way, and the council is the, you know, most obvious point of contact for those who are working within the ICANN process, but that wouldn't rule out working with other CCTLD management groups. And while we want to hear from within the GNSO constituencies the different points of view, we're actually a little uncertain about what the value is of getting a council position, given that so many of your constituents have different perspectives and different needs from what the strategic plan addresses.
Well, I think that question, Barbara, this is Ross again, goes directly to the heart of my question, which is to kind of uncover where the representativity and the balance in that consultation is going to come from if it's not actually going through council, whether it be the address council, the GNSO Council, or the CCNSO Council?
Mm-hmm. I think we're not averse to hearing from Council. We want as much feedback as possible. We just recognize that there's a value to going to our stakeholder groups as stakeholders, not just as the forms in which the participation is structured through the ICANN process. Because the idea is to make the strategic plan as functional as possible and as you know, useful as a guide for the next 3 years to where our energy should be directed, where our funding should be directed, how our activity should take shape.
But where will that balance of representativity come from?
Well, I'm not quite sure I understand what you mean by balance in the sense that, you know, the strategic plan itself is not a quote-unquote balanced document. It addresses where, you know, where our energies need to go, but that, you know, doesn't preclude finding new areas of work either.
I hear what you're saying, and I understand what you're saying, but I am extremely wary of any ICANN initiative, whether it be at a staff level or at a GNSO level, at any level, that doesn't ensure that there's balance and representativity in the consultation. It's one of the, I believe, one of the cornerstones to this organization, and it's extremely important that it be respected, I believe.
Maybe I could ask, it's a semantic question, and perhaps we should just make sure we're all on the same page about what a word means, because that sometimes helps, and it's easy to miscommunicate if we don't agree on what we're talking about. I think, for the most part, and all counselors should speak for themselves, but I think for the most part that what we would be looking for is what we might think of as participatory education, which is a little bit different than... participatory consultation, I think, is also what you guys want. And circumstances being what they are, and we should look forward and not back as much as we can, you have not yet had the opportunity to have the kind of contributions or input that probably most of us would feel critical to ensuring full support of a strategic plan, and that's what we want to provide to you, because we have a shared interest in the successful outcome and the buying into and support of the final strategic plan. So I think, you know, there's a little bit of difference between feedback, which basically says you want me to tell you what I think about the present draft as to... You want a consultative, participatory dialogue from people who are leaders in the stakeholder groups and who share your commitment to hearing broadly from stakeholders and assuring buy-in and support. And I'm sure you will find every counselor fully committed to that common goal.
Marilyn Pauley, or Bruce, if you allow me, maybe.
Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
Well, I mean, this sort of process has guess I hear what Ross is saying. You know, I've in my past life been through quite a number of them, and it is always difficult because, you know, you get every individual and organization and group of organizations and at all levels possibly wanting to provide inputs, and in some areas there is more organization than in others, and obviously a lengthy piece of a single person sometimes gives the impression as having the same weight as a shorter piece from a group of organizations. I think all of that would sort of need to be weighted one way or another. I think what we are trying to do from our side at the moment is to find a level of granularity in terms of the group levels that we get sufficiently detailed comments on it. It is a rather large document which goes fairly deeply into a whole stack of areas. Some of them concern particular constituent groups and stakeholder groups in particular, and obviously we would want to hear from them as much as we can. Now, it will be obvious to everybody that we're not going to be able to sit down with individual organizations, and so at that level, I think there is no problem. It is more like once we then go up in the level of granularity, where is it where we're going to sit? My sense is that you know, there is probably some logical, but you know, it isn't very deterministic. Some logical level of grouping in which we want to go. The question is then, and I think that is basically a proposal on the GNSO side. Does it make sense? Is there value added to see once the constituent groups have given their positions to sort of consolidate this or reconcile this at the GNSO level and see what comes out of that? And that may well be worth a try and see what actually happens then. Coming to the other supporting organizations, I mean, they have their own problems in this, or we have our own problems with that. In the CCNSO, there are only a small group of CCs involved in there, so we have all the other CCs, and I don't think that it would be wise not to consult the others. Secondly, there are many differences in the CCs between small, big, developed, developing, etc., and also they probably have different perspectives on something. So we are going to have to cut through this in a variety of ways. We're basically trying to explore what is the best way of doing it.
If I may, Paul, Bruce?
Yeah, go ahead, Ross.
That's some great color to it, Paul, so it's slightly deeper than I, you know, so thanks for that. And I'm certainly not pretending to speak on behalf of the CCs and say how you should conduct a consultation with them, and I'll let them deal with that happily. So my comments are purely restricted to the GNSO. My concern is very explicitly this. Based on my understanding of the composition of the council and its history, it was constructed as a vehicle or as a point where consultations like this can occur. I don't make that same separation between the constituency level and the council level that I'm hearing coming from you. And it concerns me that a consultation with the constituency would be viewed as being separate from a consultation with the council. And that's purely where I'm coming from.
Yeah, well, I'm not exactly sure how this is going to pan out and what you have in mind, what think you made happen. Let me put it another way. My sense is that the higher you go up in the hierarchy, if I can express it that way, the more abstract the resulting findings are going to be to some extent. And at some level, that may be fine in terms of the overall direction and the overall tonality and the overall approach and all that. But given the level of detail we've tried to put into the plan, we're also interested in addressing the detail. And my sense is that would come particularly if we start going down the hierarchy of the group levels, so to speak. And, you know, I don't think that it is going to be doable to really get that level of detail out of a GNSO meeting, for example. And so the GNSO meeting, I think, would add something probably very different to the whole process, as far as I can see it. And I don't. I think in order to to respect the views of all the constituencies and eventually individual organizations, I think we should just let it sit there and for everybody to see. And I don't think that on many of it is necessarily necessary to come to, is there a common view on this or not?
Right.
And some of them are just useful comments, and we can leave it there.
Right. I think I understand that a lot better, and that gives me a lot more comfort than I had coming into this conversation. So maybe a last remark
on it, and there is maybe a bit of a process one. If you start, and this is where I would want to have a bit of information from Marilyn in particular, if you start discussing this sort of stuff at the GNSO level, the question, at least in my mind, comes up. Well, suppose something comes out of that. Is that going to be fed back into the constituencies? Because the individual people who are going to sit there, are they talking on behalf of their constituents? Is there an expectation that that is going to go through some feedback loops for, yet another round of consolidation and confirmation that what has come out of the process of the physical meeting is indeed what the bottom-up process supports, et cetera, et cetera. I guess what I'm saying is, if we're not careful, it can become rather heavy, and I think we probably want to find a balance between getting something extremely useful out of it on the one hand, and preventing that it sort of gets into a heavy exercise.
Sir Tony Holmes, may I comment? Certainly, from the ISP constituency, we spent quite a lot of time talking about the strategic plan at the Cape Town meeting. But one of the benefits of working through the GNSO is it enables us as a constituency to take full account of the broader views of the other parties involved. And in the past, on some issues, that has certainly changed the way we view things. In this particular instance, we haven't had the opportunity, as Marilyn said, to have any participatory dialogue at all. And functioning along the lines that have been proposed by Marilyn enables that to happen. So rather than fragmenting things, I believe it actually consolidates the overall opinions and views. And through that actual process, ICANN should be able to get a much better view of what are really the important issues, because they'll be coming from a much broader spread. I don't believe you'll get that from holding one-to-one teleconferences with the constituencies.
Yeah, I think my comment from, this is Bruce Tonkin, from listening to the discussion so far, is that in any area where you're trying to develop views on a document, whether it's a policy on who is or whether it's a strategic plan, to have a meaningful dialogue at the council level on one of those topics implies that there's already been meaningful discussion within the constituencies already on that particular topic. So if we're taking something like who is, it's reasonable to have a discussion about who is at the council level, because we've already discussed who is extensively within the individual constituencies. So I think an important precursor to, I guess, a council dialogue is that there has been dialogue within the constituencies, and I think the ICANN staff is trying to set up forums to do that, and I think that's the right approach, to allow individuals of constituencies to ask questions and to provide their comments. But out of that, the value of ICANN as a structure then comes from being able to, each of the individual representatives from the constituencies coming from different regions of the world, so hence we've got three reps per constituency, then can come together and bring to the broader table, saying, well, this is the sort of discussions and comments that we were hearing within our constituency, these are the issues we had, and try and identify, are there some common themes? And if there are common themes, then that's something the council can then say to the board as advice, saying, well, this is the GNSO council representing these constituencies, these are some broad principles or comments that we have. And now I agree with you, Paul, that from a staff point of view, to get the best feedback for yourselves, you're best talking to individuals to get
some of the, I guess, the depth and understanding of an issue. But there's still benefit in being able to seek what you can get in terms of common messages that have come through an extensive process. I mean, maybe you don't get anything, but it's the whole purpose of ICANN, the case with any of the policies we've developed, is that we attempt to at least achieve those common objectives rather than have a whole bunch of unrelated stakeholders and then trying to put those together. And as Ross is saying, well, which stakeholder do you give higher weight compared to another stakeholder becomes difficult to manage. So I think what Marilyn's proposing is essentially something that should occur after you've done your initial consultations and teleconferences to seek to find out what the common views are across all of those constituencies.
Bruce, Paul, here.
Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
Oh.
Yeah, I think I understand what you're saying, and I have no problems with it. And I think also Tony Holmes' remarks are valuable. It even makes me wonder if I have seen the value of these bigger meetings here in Brussels. And it is true that once you hear other parties talk, you realize, oh my God, I've forgotten all that, et cetera, et cetera. It raises the question even, shouldn't it even go one level up? That means shouldn't we at some point, maybe not this time, but next year or whenever, next time, do this at an ICANN meeting where really everybody can be involved in such a discussion and people can really listen to some of the views, because presumably there may also be some value for you to hear the views in the ASO area and the CCNSO area, et cetera, et cetera. But I think this is a very useful conversation.
Is that Marilyn? I think it's probably appropriate if Marilyn then presents what you were proposing, just in light of what you've heard.
Right. And I will just preface this by saying I'm making the presentation, but I have not developed the presentation without taking consultation from a number of people from the constituencies, including fellow councillors. It is not a presentation that is endorsed by any other councillor, but was an effort to start first with a feasibility test of was there enough support to take up the council's time and the ICANN staff time before proposing a top-down recommendation. So I did want to thank Bruce and other councillors, Bruce for making Glenn's assistance available in doing some of the logistics research, and other councillors for your comments and insights. What I have proposed is what I hope will be this year's for what would be a more substantive and instantiated consultation that should, in my view, take place at an ICANN meeting a full day before an ICANN meeting, attended by at least the elected representatives of all of the SOs. This is purely my own point of view. And so that we could really help to support consultative and participatory dialogue as we develop and then are able to support a strategic plan. Looking forward, we don't have the time to do what myself I might prefer, but I think we must do all we can. I'm proposing a meeting that would take place in a central site, and the survey and feedback that I received from fellow councillors was a suggestion that we try to do this meeting possibly in Amsterdam, which is reachable easily by most people from Europe, and in a single flight, that is a one-stop flight from people coming from the United States. The meeting would take place probably beginning a half-day meeting on February the 7th, and we would try, we have done logistics scan for 50 to 60 attendees for that first half day. And I say logistics scan because we've had to, review with hotels and venues what's available. This would be an open session. We would like to start it with a presentation by the ICANN staff, presenting the strategic plan and being able to respond to questions We would then have an open, moderated discussion with the strategic plan and open the floor to prepared presentations. Some of the councillors and other members of the constituencies have indicated that they would be prepared to try to bring prepared comments in, and then we would take any comments from individuals who are in attendance who had not submitted a request for a scheduled presentation, close the meeting, and have a sort of an informal social hour. The next day, the following half day, would really be a working session for those who've agreed to undertake the synthesis and drafting of the comments, and participants would really need to commit to, in advance, to join this working effort. We would have a conference bridge for counselors and liaisons to the GNSO who are not able to attend in person so that they could participate in the working session on the second day if they committed to do that. We would try to walk out, I must say, let me modify that, we would walk out by 12:30 that day with draft comments that each of the representatives would need to take back to the group that they represent. And we'd have an open period from February the 8th to February the 20th where participants are responsible for getting further edits or comments or agreements from those in their community and constituency. We'd have a final conference call the week of February the 21st to reach agreement on any edits or changes in the recommendations and comments. And then we would post the comments to the ICANN public site on February the 28th. We explored three venues, London and two hotel locations in Amsterdam. There is a possible site in London. It is separate from the hotel. We would, and we did look at the Amsterdam Hilton and the Amsterdam Sheraton. And I may turn to Glenn for specific details on room rates and things of that nature. But basically, we can do a room for 50 to 60 people with a second day of setup for in an open U for a group of 25 to 30. For approximately, in London, £2,500 plus the conference phone, coffee breaks, separate funding for a social hour. Amsterdam Sheraton, the cost is roughly the same. The Amsterdam Hilton downtown, it's a little bit cheaper, but there is a 20-minute transport from the airport to be factored in or something of that nature. The estimated total for hosting the two half-day meetings, funding the coffee breaks, funding the conference bridge, the speakerphone, et cetera, would be somewhere between 4,000 euros and 5,000 euros. I'm hedging a little bit on the amount because we did book, we've been discussing a room that could accommodate up to 60 people. I don't think at this time we would get a lot more than that, but if we did, we might have a slightly higher cost for the room. And the hotel room rates are really not that disparate from each other, but if people have specific, the sleeping rooms, but if people have specific questions about room rates, I think, Glenn, you should be prepared to respond to that.
Yes, certainly, Marilyn.
Marilyn, this is Lucy.
Uh-huh.
I have to apologize for everyone for making this offer at such a late date, but some of you may have read my email that the Nokia UK offices are available at least for that first day, free of charge. They're actually located about 20-minute cab ride from Heathrow, and there is a room available that would hold up to 50 or 60 people. That's just, and again, I apologize for even making that suggestion at such a late date, but the offer is there.
I'm sorry, I haven't seen an email from you, Lucy. But why don't we just take that as one of the things that could be explored further? We still have logistics of arranging
of course,
hotel rooms, and we would need the conference phone, and we still have to find a venue for the second day.
Yes.
Yes. But thank you. And so I want to know which one of you counselors is going to offer to host us in your magnificent home.
Well, what I suggest we do, Marilyn, just in terms of
processes, perhaps take questions and comments on what you've presented. And then I might ask for, I guess, a vote for the concept or agreement that we should hold such an event, and then we can have a separate discussion about the budget issue, because I just kind of want to get a sense of, you know, do we think it's a good idea that we hold the event first, and then second, then talk about how do we go about funding it.
I'm happy to do that, Bruce. I would just like to clarify, because not all counselors have been around since we invented the Internet, right? That was a joke. But the proposal that I was making was based on an awareness that the council does have a reserve fund that was left over from fees that were collected previously from some of the constituencies in order to fund the secretariat at that time. So I just think it's important for the council members to understand we're not talking about passing the hat at this time. We would be talking about authorizing part of the reserve fund.
Okay.
I can say, this is Lucy, I can say from the IP constituency that we support this meeting.
Deze oproep is onderbroken. Probeert u het later eens opnieuw. Cet appel est interrompu. Veuillez réessayer plus tard. This call is interrupted. Please try again later. Dieser Anruf wurde unterbrochen. Bitte später noch einmal versuchen. Deze oproep is onderbroken. Probeert u het later eens opnieuw. Cet appel est interrompu.
Okay, we'll
this call is interrupted. Please try again.